Good morning. It's Mother's Day, and our first order of business today is to honor all of you moms out there. And we include in that number not only the biological moms and mothers-to-be, but also moms who have adopted children and made them their very own, spiritual moms who are nurturing young Christians to walk in the ways of the Lord, mentoring moms who are critical influencers in today's generation. And we also bless all of those who have been given the heart of a mother. We pray that as we set this day aside to honor you, that it will be a joyous celebration and blessing for which you are so very deserving. I don't think there could be any higher tribute that can be made than by those words that were penned in Proverbs 31. So I want to honor all of you moms today as I read from this passage of Scripture. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord to extol her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, and so quickly fades. But this virtuous woman lives in the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateways of every city. And this morning I want to do just that, since the Word has given me license to do so, and to express my thanks to the Lord for our First Lady at High Street Worship Center, my wonderful dedicated wife, Kathleen Rose, who is not only the mother of our three wonderful children, and the loving and doting grandmother of our incredible six grandchildren, but she also carries a mother's heart for this church family, and in so many ways shows her love and her care. You know, my wife is the kind of person who never seeks for the spotlight, but she selflessly serves me and this church family, always under the radar screen. And honey, today I just want to say I love you so much, and I thank God for the gift that he has given me in having you as my wife and helpmate. I could not do this ministry without you. And to you and to all of the moms out there, I say a very happy Mother's Day. Now I invite you to shift gears with me as I feel led to share a message with you today on this subject, the necessity of a growing faith. And I've chosen as my text Luke 18 and verse 8. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? When the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? That verse of Scripture is so particularly relevant right now because all that we're going through in this world today are indicators and signs that Jesus is coming back. And when he returns, he's going to ask this question: will he find faith on the earth? Faith is the operative word here. The faith to which Jesus is speaking here is not faith as a creed, faith as a doctrine. This verse is not saying, when he returns, will he find those who are still believing in the gospel? No. Rather, the question is, when he returns, will there be found those who are still persevering in the faith? That is to say, are there those on the earth who not only believe with their minds? You know, there are a lot of people who say, I believe, And it's just merely a mental, intellectual assent to some truth. But true faith is believing with all of your heart and believing to such a degree that you will commit your entire life to it. Do you believe today with all of your heart that God is who He says He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? You know, faith is a pretty big deal to God. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that it's the one thing that He requires of us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Because there are some people who think they please God by their good works. They please God because they're religious. They please God because they're kind. They please God because they're charitable and generous. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Do you know why that's so? It's so because you need to have faith to get saved. And the faith, again, that we're talking about is not a mental assent, but it is rather a commitment of one's life, that you are so sold in your belief on who Jesus Christ is and in what He has done for us on the cross that you're willing to commit your entire life to Him. It's that kind of faith that brings salvation, but it's also that kind of faith that we need every day of our lives to stay saved. For the Bible tells us clearly we walk by faith and not by sight. So this matter of keeping faith is so important that we also read in Hebrews, listen to this verse, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will take no pleasure in him." That's a sobering verse of scripture. God expects us to live by faith and not by sight. And if we shrink back from a life of faith, of believing in Him, of trusting in Him, He says, "I will take no pleasure in Him." I was thinking of the Apostle Paul when he came to the end of his life. In what did he rejoice? You know, Paul was a very accomplished man. But when he came to the very end of the road, he did not talk about how many books of the Bible he wrote. He did not speak of how many souls he won to Christ, how many churches he established, or even how many Christians acknowledged his apostleship. We know in Christian circles, and some at least, that's a big thing because people care so much about their titles, that they're an apostle or they're a bishop or they're a prophet. No, Paul didn't care about those things. He knew that the time of his departure was at hand, and he contemplates the moment that he will soon stand before the King of Glory. And he's crystal clear as to what is paramount in his mind. We read it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says this, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Consequently, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing." In what was Paul's confidence? It was in this: "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Keeping faith, I submit to you this morning, my Christian friend, is a fight. It's a fight in which we are engaged each and every day. Will today I take God at His word? Will I trust God today? Will I put my confidence in His faithfulness? You know, if we look only with our natural eyes, we will lose the battle. But should we have to lose the battle when God ordained that we are to be more than conquerors through him who has loved us? And I certainly well understand that he never told us that we would float to heaven on beds of ease, even though he ordained that we be conquerors. And in fact, Jesus did tell us, in this world, you will have trouble. Did you hear that? You will, not you might. If you're lucky, you may escape. I have a news flash for you today, my Christian friend. Not everything in life is guaranteed, but this is. You will have trouble in this life. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in spite of the fact that you have tribulation in this world, in me you may have peace. Where is this peace when we're in the midst of the storm? Where is this peace when we hear the news of all of these people dying from the coronavirus? Jesus said that peace is in me. It's faith in Christ. That is the key to being an overcomer. John says in his first epistle, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Now listen to this. And this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. So yes, we must accept that there will be tough times in life, and we're going through one right now. But if we are standing in faith, if we are putting our trust in Almighty God, we will overcome. And if I might ask this morning, if we are not standing in faith, how are we going to fare when the next tsunami hits? And here's another news flash. This isn't the worst thing that is ever going to happen on the face of the earth. Jesus warned us that when these things come to pass, these are just the beginnings of the birth pangs. You know, when a woman goes into labor, the baby has not come yet. She's just experiencing the pains that are the indication that the baby is on the way. So we must prepare our hearts for the challenges that are yet to come. And the only way that we can do that is by growing in our faith. And that's why this message today is so important. The necessity of growing in our faith, because we need to come in every tomorrow, in all that is yet ahead of us, as we place our confidence and our trust and our faith in our God. I believe this pandemic has become a litmus test for us Christians. And it determines whether we are either going to live by faith or live in fear, for we cannot do both. And before you throw any stones at me, let me be quick to say, I do understand the seriousness of COVID-19. And I do embrace the importance of observing CDC recommendations. But I also believe that there are underlying motivations, and there is media fear-mongering that never ends, and I absolutely refuse to succumb, because the Word of God teaches me I cannot live in faith while I'm also living in fear. That is being double-minded, and that gets us nowhere as believers. The mandate for the believer is clear. Have faith in God. Regardless of the circumstances, have faith in God. And that is not just a plaque that you should hang on the wall of your home. Rather, it is a lifestyle that we are called to live. I believe it was for this reason that the Apostle Paul prayed the prayer that he did for the Ephesian Christians in chapter 3. Let me read it to you from the Passion Translation. I pray that God would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Now listen to verse 17. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Oh, those are words to feed on. When we receive the revelation of who God is and all the blessings that come to us by knowing him, Paul says we will then have supernatural strength flooding our inner being with his divine might and explosive power. Stop and ponder that for a moment. Or if you prefer the King James English, you will be filled with might by his spirit in your inner man. You know, you might be strong physically, you might have a strong physical frame, but how much strength do you have in your inner man? And in order to have that strength, the scripture is telling us here, you need to get revelation. Paul prayed that he would unveil, that he would reveal to you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor. And where does that revelation come from? It comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith grows in us as we hear the Word of God, the raw Word of God, the unadulterated truth of God's Word, not psychology, not eloquent words. We have too much of that in our world today. What we need is the Word of God. And as we hear the Word of God and allow that Word to enter into our spirit, it strengthens us and makes us strong in faith. There's a great example of the power of God's Word in building faith in Acts chapter 14, where we read about Paul and Barnabas. When they went to Lystra, they found a man there who was crippled from birth. Never walked a day in his life. But he sat there, the scripture says, and listened as Paul preached. And as Paul preached, he noticed something. He noticed that faith was building in that man. And that's what the scripture says. Paul, looking straight at him, realized he had faith to be healed. Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up!" And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Where did that faith come from? It came from hearing the Word of God. The problem we have today is we expect that hearing one sermon a week is going to build enough faith in us to carry us through. Since when does eating one meal during the week sustain your body enough to carry you through the week? So why do we think a once a week visit to God's house and hearing one sermon a week is going to do for us what needs to be done? Why then did God command Joshua? In Joshua 1:8, and I love this passage of scripture, God commanded Joshua that his word must not depart from his mouth, but he was commanded to meditate therein day and night. And isn't that why the psalmist said in that first wonderful psalm, the blessed person, the happy person, the person who is to be envied, in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion of the world in which we are living, there are those individuals who are planted by streams of living water that are bringing forth fruit. They're not in a tizzy. They're not getting ulcers. They're not living in fear. Why? because their delight is in the law of the Lord. And we often stop there and we miss this next part. And on God's law they meditate day and night. There's the secret, Christian friend. We must meditate on the Word of God. And I know you've heard this probably 1,000 times before, but it bears repeating. Meditation is akin to what a cow does as it chews the cud. It digests that green grass, but I guess that grass is so delicious that the cow brings it up again and chews on it all over again. And that's what meditation is all about. It's not about reading your 3 chapters and seeing how fast you could get through them so that you could say, oh, as a Christian, I did my duty and I read God's word today. No, it's reading and meditating on the word of God. It's chewing the cud, as it were, bringing into your remembrance the meditation of that truth, reflecting on it, praying over it, asking the Holy Spirit to make it real to your heart. And when you do, you will grow your faith. There's no way to grow your faith unless we are having a steady diet of meditating on the Word of God. The problem today is we're feeding our spirit on Facebook, on CNN, on Fox. We're watching and listening to all the devastation that the mainstream media wants to bring into our focused minds and hearts so that we could live in fear and in dread, in frustration, and even in anger. I don't know about you, but sometimes I listen to the news and it just angers me. You know, there's an old adage that says we are what we eat. And if that's true in the natural, it's more true in the spiritual. What we feed on determines our spiritual health. It determines the measure of our faith, the quality of our faith, the degree of our faith, the strength of our faith. The faith that brought you to salvation, Christian friends, is a faith that must grow. In Peter's second epistle, and in the last chapter, let's remember that these are the last words that Peter writes to the believers. And he was also a pretty big deal in the early church. You know, our Catholic friends call him the first pope. But Peter was a very prominent figure in the first church. And in his epistle, he is warning the believers against anything that could deter or distract them in the end times. And he writes these final words. You already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard. Don't be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of who Jesus is, the more our faith is going to grow. I love Abraham, called the father of faith. He's such an example to us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about his faith in Romans chapter 4. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Why? For God said to him, look to the stars in the sky, that's how many descendants that you will have. And the Bible says in Romans 4, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though the outward circumstances told him otherwise. He was about 100 years of age. He figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Yet, the Bible says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, And in this he brought glory to God. Why? He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how big the problem is, regardless of the mountain that is standing in the way. If God said it, he is able to do it, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. When we grow in faith, we grow in our belief that God is able. You know, James tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, genuine faith will demonstrate itself by some action. Genuine faith will prove its genuineness by exercising itself, standing on the Word of God. And if you believe God's Word today, then you and I will believe it, but also obey it. And in obeying it, we will do what it says, even when it's not comfortable, even when our flesh resists it, even when it's not convenient. And there will be those times when doing what it says means not doing what I want to do, not saying what I want to say, but standing in faith. Sometimes it means just standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord and saying, I will not fret, I will not be anxious, I will not be at unrest, I will stay in peace, and I will wait for the manifestation of the Word of God that will come at His appointed time. But in the meantime, I will be still and know that He is God, and know that He will be exalted, and know that He will be praised as He shows the magnificence of His omnipotent power and glory. And when we do, the promise is God will keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on Him. You know, the psalmist spoke in the psalm that I just referenced about the mountains being cast into the sea, about earthquakes and tsunamis and the most devastating and cataclysmic events that could take place on the face of the earth. But he said, in the midst of all of that, my faith is in the living God. My faith is in the one who is seated on the throne, the one who is seated above the raging storm, and he still speaks and silences the winds and the waves and says, peace, be still. The challenge to our hearts this morning, Christian friends, is to grow our faith, and we grow our faith as we ingest the Word of God. For Jesus is coming back, and I believe he is coming soon. When he comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a very general statement, but I need to challenge my own heart today. Will he find faith in me? Will he find faith in the people of High Street Worship Center? Will he find faith in you who are listening to the Word of God today? I pray that as we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us today, that we will cry out to God to give us a greater hunger to grow in our faith, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man, that we might stand tall, that we might stand strong, that we might stand courageous in trying times, knowing our God is a faithful God, and He will do what He says He will do as we put our trust and our confidence in Him. And we give Him thanks today for His Word, So, Father, let your word run swiftly and accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it today. Let it bear fruit in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.